Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. The God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 105, Unfriended, coming at you now.
Pete, looking ahead to the future, we have at least three episodes still in a row, no break yet, so... I imagine somewhere in the neighborhood of, second half of November, we might get some reruns or might get a couple weeks off or whatever it might be. But we are getting closer or not to being halfway through this season, give or take, before there's not a new episode on a Sunday.
Still no hard confirmation on what the full season order constitutes. Some speculation running around out there that... it's only 20 episodes. Could it be 22? We don't know at this point. So, yeah, looking forward to finding out just how many we can anticipate here.
Well, I know the ever-present we are hearing, which is the anonymous sources that only entertainment reporters hear from. But the we are hearing people did peg it at 20, although other people have said 21, 22. So... I would imagine, how about this way, Pete, I have my eggs in the 20 basket, but fingers crossed for more.
And I'm looking forward to 22, so team 22 for me, Matt.
Well, as we start to dig into this episode 105, Unfriended, it was written by Sophia M. Deary, a veteran of the Power writing staff, and directed by Aaron Feely, who has directed episodes of You. I know you know that one, Pete, that's on the Lifetime, Shameless, and Orange is the New Black. This episode had a 0.7 rating with 6.98 million live viewers. I must say, Pete, a sharp decline from last week.
One has to wonder, however, Matt, aloud as I will, how many of those viewers were either thrown off by an earlier football finish, hence the show starting at its actual time at 8 o'clock, at least on the East Coast where we started on time. There were other time zones, other cities that did not start on time. And then there was this whole Red Sox in the World Series thing last night when they wound up clinching the fourth championship in the last 14 years. Hey, remember a time when the Red Sox didn't win anything? So you have to wonder if the sports ball last night, Matt, in some way impacted these ratings.
Well, certainly the DVR, the live plus threes, live plus sevens will tell. I know, Pete, as of, I want to say, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, anyhow, the latest live plus seven numbers that are out there had God Friended Me delivering about another 0.8 rating on DVR. So, you know, we've had a little bit of a dip here this week. If that DVR number is, I don't know, a 1.0 this week, then you say, aha, that's where the viewers went. They merely went to time shifting. I guess certainly that is the best short-term case. Hopefully, Pete, we're back, you know, closer to a 1.0 next week.
If we have learned anything in our extensive TV podcasting and analysis, it is you should never feel safe. So watch the show live. Live tweet about it. I mean, geez, Matt, we learned just last week with the cancellations of Iron Fist and Luke Cage that their social media mentions were down and one potentially contributing factor. So watch a show, tweet about the show, talk about the show, recruit people to the show, get people watching it.
Well said, Pete. And yes, we do, of course, have the full season, whatever number that is. We have that secured, but no reason to not watch live, not get your voice heard about the show, etc.
Well, let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Miles bonds with favorite Uncle T, a podcast listener curious about the God account, over basketball and explains how he and his father can now be in the same room without arguing. Miles gets a friend suggestion for Rachel Blake.
Rakesh and Jaya are planning on having dinner later with their parents, and Jaya has something to talk to him about, but they're interrupted by his mom with breakfast. As Rakesh believes he's getting closer to unmasking the God account with the next friend suggestion, they discover it has unfriended Miles. Cut to the title card. God unfriended me.
Kara has her coffee date, emphasis on date, with Eli, who's left finance for landscape architecture. He's really changed. They both have. Kara gets an update during her date. Miles has seen a poster about Beaker's Star Talk at the planetarium. They are, were helping after all, even though the God account has abandoned them.
Miles' Facebook friend Melvin Landry gives Miles a flyer for the vigil for the late Emma Blake, and Miles goes to the remembrance. Rachel gets up to speak. She survived the crash with only a few bruised ribs. Miles catches up with Rachel at a bar, there for her with a sense of sincerity that speaks to the skills of Brandon Michael Hall. At Rachel's apartment, they talk guilt and loss, with Rachel exploring her raw survivor's guilt still fresh in her mind through her art.
Rakesh and Jaya join their parents for dinner. Turns out Jaya is headed to the Mayo Clinic. While Rakesh doesn't have his BA, nor is he in IT. What's going on in life? Where's he going in life?
Kara's found out that tangentially, the God account has suggested Rachel. She and Miles go see custodian Jack Campbell, who saved Rachel, but he doesn't have all the details down street. Why would he lie? Who saved Rachel after all? Later, the gang looks at the police report in Harlem. At Dad's church / soup kitchen run by Uncle T, Jack reveals Rachel pulled herself out of the car, or so it seems.
Later, Kara has the details on who called 911 the night of the crash. It was sister Emma. Emma saved Rachel, but will that news help alcoholic Rachel? Miles gets advice from his father. It's all about direction in your life. Miles gets solid information from a homeless man that Emma pulled Rachel from the car.
At Ali's advice, Rakesh throws a going-away party for Jaya. Meanwhile, Kara and Miles confirm, for surezies, that the God account stuff is over, for sure. Rachel has found her direction, sobriety back in Alcoholics Anonymous, and focus on her art, as summarized by the free art she has made for her favorite podcast. The episode ends with the God account returning and Miles friending it.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, do we have any kind of story advance in this episode with some of the back and forth from the God account, the account appearing or unfriending and all of this, then Miles being able to refriend it? Any kind of sense of, yes, this is human-based versus this is the divine?
I'm still on the divine aspect of this, particularly how Will becomes an issue by the end of the episode. This is not as it was in the pilot of it repeatedly trying to get him to interact with it. Now he is seeking it out, which is an interesting aspect.
It is. And I think that, you know, again, kind of a common thread throughout our coverage of these episodes is, A, how deep or not will they get into that question? And it's interesting that they do keep kind of, they keep circling back, you know, the search continues essentially, as opposed to, I don't know, it's got a P18 firewall. I'll never be able to get through that. We're going to put that in the story box for some other time, and we're just going to take it for granted. It's something that they keep digging with. And then, as you mentioned, Pete, really aptly, they're starting to do this more and more on their own, even though in this episode, the God account backs off.
Yeah, and I think five episodes in here, in what we've speculated in the earlier segment, could either be 20 or 22. So we could be as far as a quarter through the season with this episode, Matt, if you can possibly believe that. There's a true embrace, not that we hadn't been telling serialized stories in the previous episodes. Certainly they had mentioned people they had friended before and the impact, but they all got checked in this episode as a way to look at the progress that Kara and Miles had made in tracking down these stories and making a difference in people's lives. And then you knew that Rachel Blake hadn't been friended and hadn't had a difference made in her life because her Facebook profile photo was neutral to sad.
Aw. Pete, here's another one for you. Rabbi Zoe, who appeared in the pilot, played by Daniela Rabbani, Pete Rabbani, meaning teacher. Where has the good rabbi gone? Have we seen something like this before?
One has to wonder, Matt, if she has gone the way of another Lillian Winbrandt created series like Alcatraz, which we podcast back in the day, back in, Matt, all the way 2012. Okay. If you remember the character of Jimmy Dickens, do you, Matt?
Pete, how could I ever forget Jimmy Dickens, here one episode, gone the next?
Yes, the boyfriend of the main character, a cop, and he up and disappeared. We never saw him again. We never saw the rest of Alcatraz anymore, even though I've got my DVD of the only season ever and watch it with fond remembrance. But yeah, I have to wonder, Matt, but given that, you know, we hit Katie Brooks, we hit Ray the PI, and some great reference to those storylines from the first four episodes, there's hope that our rabbi will return.
I know with the case of Jimmy Dickens, the kind of series, kind of sort of reboot of Alcatraz, you know, kind of mid-production.
Yeah,
I think he was a casualty of that. I think a bit more immediately for the character of Rabbi Zoe. I mean, in the pilot, you make the pilot, then you find out you're going to series, and you make whatever changes there are. Perhaps her availability changed, although she does not have a credit after the God Friend of Me pilot. Also, IMDb not Pete. It's not an infallible force in the universe, unlike the Lord.
It is not, and God has not friended it, regardless if you pay for it or if you don't.
Anyhow, Pete, any other theories on your end?
Quite a few, Matt. This begins, as had been announced on social media, the beginning of an arc for Uncle T here, and ooh, Malik Yoba coming in, Matt, to portray this new character, most notably of New York Undercover back in the day there, 94 to 99,
yes.
Detective J.C. Williams, and really enjoyed this character. Looking forward to how this arc is going to pay off. What do you suspect they might be doing here? I mean, here he gets father and son as the favorite uncle, not the brother of the Reverend Arthur Finer, to have that powwow, you know, three quarters of the way through the episode.
Well, part of what I like so much about this show is, though it is a mixture of serial and procedural, and though it is, you know, a network show, which, you know, in some quarters can be a disdainful thing, it really does not go by the normal rules of television. And one way that it does that is you don't really have a bad guy or bad gal of the week at all. I mean, it's just kind of about collating good and working together and helping each other. You have people who have been through some bad things, but it's not like, you know, this is not, you know, CSI or NCIS or FBI or anything like that, where it's like, there's a gunman on the third floor, you know. So do I think that Uncle T, you know, is going to be embroiled in some sort of scandal, or he's taken from the church coffers or anything like that? No, it's a little bit more subtle. It's a little bit more helpful. At least that's the vein that we've been on for these first five episodes. I would be surprised if he's taking us in some sort of negative way. You know, I mean, that works for other shows, but that's not this show, where there's good in everyone.
Matt, Rachel's art here, really, really detailed, We'll talk about the red hat and the Red Sox linkage in a little bit. But did you see anything in the art that maybe, you know, with this idea of God friending people via Facebook, we know how often religious meaning is found in art. And then the connection that, hello, our logo came to us via a listener.
Yes, we can certainly speak to the idea of artists sending some of their art our way for podcasts. I mean, Pete, have to mention our pal Ian in the UK, zort.co.uk, great t-shirt designs, great logo designs. We've used some of his stuff for a number of our podcasts. The Fantastic Geek logo created at his hand. Mm-hmm. Pete, life imitating art, imitating life, imitating art. She also might be capturing, you know, the spirit of the Lord in her abstract art. But Pete, can we talk more about podcast logos, or have we covered that?
I think we've covered it. The red hat, the Red Sox hat. And we speculated openly on Twitter. We'll talk about it in our next segment with some interactions with listeners about when this episode would have been penned. The Red Sox just clinching the World Series last night over the Los Angeles Dodgers, won a record 119 games when you count the regular season and the postseason. They won 108 games in the regular season. So they were hot, Matt. Those Sox, went to college in New England. So, you know, it makes me like an honorary New Englander. So it's not as if it was a stretch, but did they have a copy of Gray's Sports Almanac in the God Friend of Me writer's room?
Well, Pete, I know sticklers will say, but Gray's Sports Almanac only went to the year 2000. It's called Second Edition, and I'm sure it's out there in the future past, and they told us there'd be hoverboards, etc. I mean, look, we'll discuss some of the listener feedback in a little bit. Clearly, it's tongue-in-cheek, the notion that they wrote this episode in any way planning to air against Game 5, the deciding game of the World Series in which the Red Sox were in, and so on and so forth. But it is a fun bit of serendipity. And Pete, this is a show about connections, unintended connections, heavenly connections. You know, I think that somebody who roots against the Yankees must therefore be sympathetic to the Red Sox. I think this is particularly so with hardcore Mets fans such as yourself and Stephen Lillian. In my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm nowhere near. I am a ball or maybe double A, and you are in the major leagues in terms of your baseball expertise. But wow. Correct me if I'm wrong here. If you're a Mets fan, unless the Red Sox are playing against you, or unless they are playing against a team whose win or loss can help you, aren't you just generally sympathetic towards the Red Sox?
I am slightly sympathetic, although they've now become the Yankees, Matt. I mean, they've spent a ton of money, and you know, they have this stranglehold on the World Series over the last 14 years after not winning for 86 years. My brother is strangely a fan of both the Mets and the Red Sox, but the Red Sox didn't come until later on in life for him. My question for you, Matt, is can a native New Yorker be a Sox fan? I mean, Rachel points out that was Emma's only flaw. Is this believable?
Pete, I think I've already given the answer, okay? She's a New Yorker. She's a baseball fan. Clearly, she doesn't want to be a Yankee fan. I mean, the merits of not being a Yankee fan are clear. Pete, here's where I have to break some news, okay? Maybe she was interested in those Metsies and some of the travails and trials and tribulations of the team made it a bit tough for her. Now, I know a true fan sticks through, but you know what? Maybe she just didn't have that Queen's chutzpah and said, well, I like baseball. I don't like the Yankees. What's my next best option? It is the Boston Red Sox. So to me, it all fits. She does not need to be, you know, she does not need to be sitting in the front row of the church/synagogue/mosque of baseball to be welcome, and I'm glad that she's welcome and clearly anti-Yankee.
Well, if there was a Major League Baseball club that would make you question the existence of God prior to 2004, that was certainly the Boston Red Sox. Moving on, Matt, Jaya leaving the show?
I was gobsmacked, Pete. This is a show that it has beautiful men of different ethnicities, has beautiful women of different ethnicities. Maybe I have some unresolved feelings about Jaya that I need to explore in future podcasts. I don't know. But the notion that the character is going to leave the show, I was like, hold up. Okay, it's one thing to be like, I'm not sure whether I've gotten God's message properly this week and whether I should be helping Rachel Bloom or not. Gonna write Jaya out of the show? No, please no. Pete, can they move the Mayo Clinic to New York City? Is it too late?
I don't think they can. There's fine medical institutions in New York City, though, Columbia Presbyterian among them. So you got to wonder if maybe there could be a little bit of change. We can see the serendipity. God does work in mysterious ways, Matt. So we'll have to see. But put me in the same boat. Not really looking forward to not having Shazi Raja around.
Time will tell, Pete. I mean, I stand by what I just said. I will be saddened if she's not long for the show. You would hope that if the actress is headed somewhere else, it's because of a great work opportunity, things of that sort. But fingers crossed on the Jaya front.
Last one from me, Matt. So the God account disappears. A God account pops back up. Miles friends it. We've discussed this before. I'll reiterate just so Matt can answer the question. I worship at the altar of Facebook every day. I sit in the pew. I say my prayers. I scroll through the feed and then I leave the church of Zuckerberg. Matt does not. Did the God account get cloned here? And ooh, is this Putin?
Pete, each week this episode gives us a small tale in human morality that ends with a smile and a reminder to help one's fellow human beings. That would be the antithesis of Putin. So I would say probably not Putin on the forefront here.
Well, you were the one, I think, put it so eloquently. We were texting back and forth, and you said that by the end of each episode, you've got a frog in your throat.
Yeah, it's true. Usually I will admit, Pete, usually like in the first 5 minutes, I'm like, of most episodes of God Friend of Me, I'm like, oh, you know, network procedural, rah, rah, rah. And then at a certain point, it's like, the message of each episode, the overarching message of the series, each week kind of reorients me and reminds me, you know what? It's a truer message than some of these more challenging, darker shows, which is, you know, to be kind and helpful to your fellow human being. I kind of liken it, Pete, you know, back in the olden days, the 50s, the 60s, whatever, when you had these big fancy meals, you know, somewhere in the middle of the meal would be your sorbet to clean your palate. I feel like this show, amidst, you know, the darker shows and the this and that, this show is just kind of a nice reminder to reorient you for the week and say, you know what, let's go out there and do some good.
Though I kid about Putin, within the last month on Facebook, and again, Matt not being there every day for services as I am, would be not really aware that there had been a scam, a gag, whatever, where people you were friends with were sending you via the Facebook Messenger a message that said, hey, I got another friend request from you. I ignored. You may want to check your account. And then there were instructions for you to do that. Turns out it was not sent by your friend, or in my case, my aunt and my mom. And then they actually had a follow-up message as well that's, hey, almost every account is getting cloned, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, is that potential, if not here, Matt, is that potential story fodder down the road? Could we have God's accounts, plural?
I think it's an interesting potential corner that a show like this could paint itself into, if not for the able hands of Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, just because they can't mess with the formula too much and all of a sudden turn it to, you know, Dark Web, the clown killer from CSI shows up behind the God account this week on God Friended Me. Like, it's just tonally completely impossible for this show. So could there be a kind of delightful little, you know, kind of side note for one episode where there's two God accounts and how can we tell? And the moral of the story is, Pete, that God is in all of us and listen to the voice inside you or something like that. Yes. But I think that the show betrays its tone too much if some of that real world deserved lack of faith in Facebook and some of the elements behind it and all of that, if that spills into the show too much, then that's not the show that we've been watching. And unlike some other shows, I mean, I just mentioned CSI, first half of the first season of CSI is not like the CSI that everybody remembers. They were doing a procedural where people have tortured home lives and this and that, the other, and then figured out what the show was meant to be. God Friended Me is a show that figured out what it wanted to be right out of the gate.
What are people saying on the horn?
So, Pete, the little joke there about Gray's Sports Almanac is one that I made while watching the episode, and it led to, Pete, I guess kind of in the mirror version of the pleasant collegial interactions shown on God Friended Me via social media, or maybe this is a polemic, a real life nonfiction polemic on Twitter versus Facebook. I don't know, but I can say with confidence, Pete, one of the strangest social media interactions connected with podcasting that I have had in my 8 years of podcasting. We both have the Twitter conversation up on our computer screens. I will read the me, you can read the other person, and then we shall discuss. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right. So I started out by saying, so the God Friend of Me writers wrote a script in what, the summer? About a woman in a Red Sox hat. The episode airs the night the Sox may clinch the World Series. You guys and gals packing a copy of Gray's Sports Almanac, and then I had a little gif of Marty McFly holding the Sports Almanac. Then to Pete, it turns weird.
To which, shoe times two, the number two there, that's at shoe, S-C-H-U-S-H-O-E, replies to Fantastic Geek and at GFM Writers, that actually doesn't mean anything. Real hashtag Red Sox fans wear their hats no matter what.
So I was confused and I replied, what doesn't mean anything? That the script was written in the summer, and I had a little I'm confused gif.
Shoe Times 2 replied that the woman was wearing a hashtag Red Sox hat. Real fans wear them all the time, no matter the game or the score. It's practically a religion in Boston / parts of New England.
My reply, yes, I'm familiar with the Red Sox. Thanks for sportsplaining me. I'm just not sure of your point, particularly about an episode where a Red Sox fan wore her hat the entire time her life was ending.
Shoe Times 2, I didn't watch the episode, so maybe I'm misunderstanding. Diehard Red Sox fans would wear their hat to the grave and probably have tattoos as well. I wouldn't connect it all to the World Series at all.
I replied, so you're explaining to me that episodes written in the summer don't see the future?
And Shoe Times 2 finally replies, yeah, I think so. Although most Sox fans would argue that they will win every year.
So thus ends, Pete, a bizarre interaction where I got told that the Red Sox are a team people like in an episode that is about a woman that liked the Red Sox. And I just stand by this notion that the character, though we never see her, the character proudly wore her Red Sox cap to her final moments, in which she must have known was this dangerous, possibly lethal situation. And then to find out that this person didn't watch the episode to which he is commenting or she is commenting on, the whole thing was incredibly bizarre, but also a little hilarious.
Yes. And, you know, the type of thing that, again, the serendipity of the show, is it fate? Is it happenstance in terms of paths crossing, of people aligning, the Red Sox playing to clinch the World Series last night, which they did, and you tweeting about that and the episode airing when it did. I mean, listen, they're a, you know, powerhouse baseball team. They could have picked, you know, the Yankees, and that wouldn't have gone over as well, given that they've been playing golf for a couple weeks now. But thus that interaction, Matt, one of maybe our second strangest ever.
Come to think of it, the other was connected with Alcatraz. So maybe Pete, it's these fine writers, but I digress. Do you have any tweets or Facebook post pagings? I don't really know how the Facebook works. Did anybody contact you on social media to talk about this episode?
Well, I had reached out to the God Friended Me account, where I wrote, Rakesh Tajaya, hold the at Mayo Clinic hashtag God Friended Me, which the God Friended Me account retweeted along with the ba-dum-tsh.
That was quite a good quip there, Pete. Your own writerly hand showing through there.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm here all week, and make sure you tip your podcasters.
Speaking of which, Pete, just like Miles, we are kept aloft by our listeners. Listener supported, 100%. No, not serious. What was the evil company that suddenly wasn't
Frequency.
Serious? Frequency. No Frequency, no serious. Although Pete will take calls from both, but that's a separate matter. Kept aloft by our patrons on patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Yes, when you friend Fantastic Geek, we never disappear, unlike other podcasts of other shows we've done, maybe even a couple for God Friended Me that maybe tried to get out of the gate and haven't so much. And that's why we're so thankful to our patrons who are contributing towards us putting out this podcast on a weekly basis. Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content, and then there's all sorts of levels you can contribute to from there. So thank you again.
Pete, the greatest gift, though, is being able to talk to you on Twitter, or I guess Facebook, but we'll circle back to Facebook in a moment. How can people talk to you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 10,133 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Visit fantasticgeek.com. Comment there as well. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and of course, Gmail, where you can share your thoughts. That's fantasticgeek at all those spots. But wait, Pete, as promised, there's more.
Facebook.com/fantasticgeek with the PH, all one word, like it today, and we'll always be there for you.
Pete, if you're listening to us on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we will be back on Wednesday to talk more Daredevil, a triumphant season taking us into the hell of Hell's Kitchen, an interesting contrast to the polite, pleasant heaven of God Friended Me. If you're listening to us, though, on the God Friended Me podcast, we'll be back next Monday to talk episode 106 already. Oh my, Pete, that'll take us into November. This is a show that we first watched at the end of August. Time is flying by, but you know what? He's with us, Pete, by which I mean he, Stephen Lillian, and the other he, Brian Winbrandt, creators of this fine show. With that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
As was said by Red Sox, now World Series champion, manager earlier this year, Alex Cora, God is in control. He'll be back with the Boston Red Sox sooner rather than later.